Glad to have our visitors with us today. We began this the second Sunday in January. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We began with a conversation between the Lord and a woman of Samaria, and he told her that he was the giver of the Holy Spirit. Today we're going to shift to another text out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 through 16. Paul is dealing with the church at Corinth. And in the letter, he starts out praising God because he said, I know you believe and receive the gospel. You've received Jesus Christ. He testified, you have the gifts of the Spirit operating within the church. But then he had to get on to them. He said, you also have factions, divisions, arguments, debates. Some of the Greek Christians were trying to bring Greek philosophy into the church, and there was divisions. Some people thought they knew a little more than others, were a little smarter than others. And it only goes to show that the people of God can have the Holy Spirit, but if they choose not to walk by the Holy Spirit, they can be just as nasty and mean as anybody else. Sometimes we think about the Holy Spirit possessing someone that they're just going to be all sweet and cuddly and lovey. And we need the Holy Spirit. But the Apostle Paul points out that there is a constant struggle going on in the life of a believer between the Spirit and what the Scriptures refer to as the carnal nature, the fleshly nature. Literally, the Greek says the unspiritual nature. That's us apart from the Holy Spirit. So this morning we're reading a text where Paul is dealing with this subject in the church and reminding them of the fact that if they do have the Holy Spirit and the purpose of him. Remember, I told you Jesus told the religious leaders of his day and God's covenant people, you don't know God. Now they weren't happy with that. They thought they knew God. They had the temple worship. They had the animal sacrifices. They had synagogue. And it really offended them. But Jesus told them straight out, you don't know God. And he said, the evidence of it is in the way you live. Now, that wasn't what well received. We just read this morning at the communion table what happened. He was crucified. But Jesus didn't say that to tell them they couldn't know God. He came to make all things new. That's why the title of this series has been All Things New. Jesus came to do what the law could not do. Before we read the text, I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for all those who are here this morning. I thank you for the promises of your word. Your word is truth. Lord, I just pray that I will decrease, that you will increase. And Lord, that you will take this passage to our hearts, explain it to us. Let us know that this is for every believer who is following Jesus Christ, the promise of your blessed Spirit. Be with those, Lord, who have lost loved ones. I pray that you will touch them with that comfort that only you can touch us with. Father, I pray that you will be with the sick. Be with those who are struggling, those who are frustrated and desperate. And Father, if there's any here today that have never surrendered their life to you and accepted Christ, we pray that today will be a day of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the Apostle Paul says, for who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So then no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. As I said, Jesus pointed out to the religious leaders of his day and many of God's covenant people that they didn't know God. In his high priestly prayer, just hours before he went to the cross, the Lord prayed for his disciples then and now. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. You see, we can know about God and not know him. That was the charge Jesus laid against God's people of his day. And we can read our Bibles, we can study our Bibles, we can come to church, we can go through all the motions of religion and claim to have religion, but not have God. And that's where a lot of these people were. And when Jesus told them they didn't know God, I don't think there was anything malicious about what he said. He was being honest with them. And he said, I know him. And he said, if I said I did know him, I'd be a liar like you. You say you know him and you don't, but I do. Jesus came to reveal God to us. He came to reveal God to the people of God in his day. He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, they took offense at that. He looked just like any other man. But he didn't live like any other man. He didn't teach like any other man. He didn't preach like any other man. He did things no one else had done. He told his disciples just before he went to the cross, if I had not done the works among them that no one else has done, they wouldn't be guilty of sin. But he said, now they have no excuse. Now, we're here to talk about all things new. The new covenant that Jesus instituted in his blood. This is what we celebrate this morning. We do this every Sunday. We partake of the bread and the juice to celebrate the Lord's death and to remember what he did for us. But he did it to make all things new. And part of the new covenant is the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit within his people. That's a promise to us. Now, I told you last week, I've heard so many different arguments over the years. The first 15 years I was a Christian, I visited 7 different churches. By visited, I mean I was in them for 1 or 2 years. And I didn't cause trouble, believe it or not. I listened to what they had to say. I compared it to Scripture. And if I disagreed with it, I moved on. I told you last week I was looking for the perfect church, but I realized if I did find one, they wasn't going to let me in there anyway. So I understood through the reading of the Scriptures that there's no perfect church here. Okay, this isn't a perfect church. Your preacher's pretty close, but you guys got a way to go yet. No, that's just a joke. But there is no perfect church. David said we are flesh and blood, and God understands that. But sometimes we use that too much as an excuse, don't we? Am I the only one that does that? Well, you know, that's my Irish temper. The Bible says we're not to give place to wrath. I got a bad temper. You don't see it very often, but I've got a bad temper. And it's part of the carnal nature. What the Bible calls the carnal nature. Now, does that mean because I have the Spirit, I don't get angry? No. But with the Spirit of God within me, he checks that. He'll say, don't say that. And I know you think sometimes he probably said it 5 minutes ago, and I didn't listen. But the Spirit of God will say, don't say that. Think about what you're going to say. Now, before I had the Holy Spirit, I didn't have that filter. You think I'm bad now? You should have known me before I came to Christ. And Paul's dealing with a church here that, as I said, he commends him. He says, you have believed the gospel. I've seen the evidence of it. You've received Jesus Christ. And he said, the gifts of the Spirit are in the church, operating through the individuals. But he said, it's been brought to my attention, and you're divided. You're arguing over who your favorite teacher is. Paul said, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you except a few of you, because you might have said I baptized you in my own name. So even as Christians that possess the Spirit of God, we still have a fleshly side, church. And there's a constant struggle between who's going to be in charge. And you know what that takes on your part and mine is a surrender of our will. Too many times in our hearts we pray, God, not thy will be done but mine. Well, I'd never say anything like that, but we act that way, don't we? Paul's dealing with the people of God, the God's covenant people under the new covenant, but he has to get on to them. He said, some of you are looking for wisdom. He said, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. It shouldn't be foolishness to us. And he said, since in its wisdom the world rejected God, God was pleased by the foolishness of what we preach to save those who believe. But once the church was started, they began to bicker and argue among themselves over who they thought the better teacher or the better preacher was. They tried to bring philosophy, Greek philosophy, into the church. And Paul's saying, don't think that way. We should think different. I told you last week, Jesus told the people, you don't know God, but God's not leaving us there, is he? No, he gave us his spirit to live within us so we could know him. A lot of difference between knowing about God and knowing God. Big difference. What's the difference? Well, it's whether you're saved or not. The way I feel about it. I'll tell you what, I knew about God since I was about 9 years old. I've said that to God many times ever since my grandmother took me to church the first time. It was an Easter service. I heard the preacher talk about Jesus Christ and God the Father. I believed it. I didn't get saved, but I believed it. So I spent years knowing about God. I attended this church as a child, was water baptized twice. The preacher probably should have held me under a little longer until I really repented, but he didn't. But I knew about God, but I didn't know him. When I came to Christ, and when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I didn't say I spoke in tongues or healed anybody, but when I was filled with the Spirit of God, something happened to me that had never happened in my life. It was like the Holy Spirit put one hand on Jesus and one hand on me, and he brought us together. And I started to know God. Now, I told you before, I don't know everything I want to know. But you know what? You can know as much about God as you want to know, within line, within reason, what he'll reveal to us. There's things about God he won't reveal to us. We couldn't handle it. But there's a reason he gave us the Holy Spirit. Remember I told you through the prophet Jeremiah, God said, my people don't know me. He wants us to know him. He wants that relationship with us. I read where God spoke to Moses face to face, and one day I got the pity party. I wish I'd been, man, I wish God you'd speak to me face to face like you did Moses. God said, I speak to you heart to heart through the person of the Holy Spirit. Well, I read my Bible. The Bible's a spiritually discerned book. Paul said, without the Holy Spirit, it won't make any sense to you. Church, when I got saved, really saved, truly saved, that Bible became alive to me. Now, I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on my Lord. I'd read the Bible for years. Could quote it. There used to be a Baptist preacher who used to witness to me. I worked for him, and I'd cuss at his cows, and he'd come in there and get on to me for cussing at his cows. He didn't like me talking to his cows that way. And then he'd start sharing scripture with me, and I'd throw it right back at him. I could quote the Bible. And he told me, a man that knows what you do and live the way you do is a fool. You're going to hell. I said, yes, sir, I know. And I'll save you a place when I get there. Because I saw the way he lived. That's how I felt about the guy. He could quote scriptures. But sometimes he just didn't act too much like he knew God. And after I came to Christ and I was filled with the Spirit, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I've been filled more than once. We're going to talk about that the next couple weeks. Now I know what some of you are thinking. Oh, I ain't going to do that tongue talking. I didn't say I spoke in tongues, did I? No. Never spoke in tongues. Never laid hands on the sick. Never prophesied. But I'll tell you what happened when I was filled with the Spirit. As I said, it was like I was introduced to Jesus Christ. He became so real to me, just as real as anyone in this room. Do I still struggle? Oh boy, I struggle. I'm a man, just like any of you in here. I'm a human being. I'm a person. I have the same struggles and temptations that everybody else faces. But you know what? I don't walk alone. Yeah. I can call on my God and he'll say, I'm right here, son. I call him Father. He calls me son. How's that possible? Through what Jesus Christ did on the cross and because of the indwelling of the Spirit. I'm not boasting on myself, church. Some of you that know me well can say, well, I've seen times you don't act real spiritual. Yeah, I'm sorry. I still got that carnal nature. I still get up in the flesh. There's times I probably spiritually, I push the Holy Spirit aside and say, you be quiet a minute, I want to handle this. That's a dangerous place to be. Paul said to the church, who understands how the Lord thinks? And he put it in terms that we should understand. No one knows what we think except the Spirit within us. Is that true? There's things you think about you don't want me to know. There's things I think about I don't want you to know. You ever have somebody say, well, you think, and they'll say something to you and it's just completely off the wall. What do you want to say? You don't know what I think. And that's true. You don't know how I feel. That's true. It's true about us and God. God said, my thoughts are so much higher than your thoughts. My ways are so much higher than your ways. But what does he say? But I'm going to place my Spirit in you. Paul said, who knows the deep things of a person but the Spirit who is in them, that person's Spirit. He said, we have the Spirit of God who knows the deep things of God. That's how God communicates to us. I've never had a burning bush experience. I've never had visions. I've never seen angels that I know of. I mean, I may have, and they didn't introduce themselves. Sometimes when we talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's what we expect. Manifestations, miraculous manifestations. What Jesus say? A wicked and adulterous generation seek after signs. Well, yeah, but you know, the Pentecostals, well, don't take bad doctrine and make that your decision that you don't want any part of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I've told you that. I believe in the gifts of tongues. I believe in the gift of prophecy. I believe in the gift of healing. But there's gifts of mercy, gifts of administration, gifts of faith. I've never heard anybody say, well, the gift of faith is gone. You cannot separate the gifts of the Holy Spirit from the Holy Spirit. They go together. He gives them as he wills. God didn't hand me a wish list and say, now you just pick whatever you want and I'm going to rush to meet it. No, he has a will for my life. He has a will for your life. He has a purpose for everyone in this room. And he gives the gifts as he wills. Jesus said to the people of his day, you don't know God. He came to reveal God. You remember what he told Philip? Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll satisfy us. What did Jesus say? Philip, have I been with you so long you haven't seen the Father? Philip, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know what the Lord desires for each one of us? When someone sees us, they see Jesus. That ain't going to happen until we relinquish our wills to his and say, Lord, let me be Jesus to people. Now, I'm not talking about being the Jesus. I'm talking about when people see me, I want them to see Jesus. That takes a relinquishing of my will. That means shutting up sometimes when I want to smart off. That means keeping my temper in check when I don't want to keep my temper in check. That means speaking a soft word. That means speaking wisdom instead of stupidity. That's accomplished through the Spirit of God. He's not going to grab you and jack your jaws and make you talk. He wants to dwell within each and every one of us. In fact, you better hope you have the Spirit, because Paul said if you don't, you don't belong to Christ. He said no one can call Jesus Christ Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus warned his disciples of the coming persecutions. because they had chosen to follow him, he said, "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues. You will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." Wow. Jesus said, when you're dragged in front of these powerful people, it gave them a chance to testify about Jesus Christ. What did he say? He said, don't fret. I'm putting it in hillbilly. Don't fret about what you're going to say, because the Spirit of your Father will speak through you. Now, I don't know about you, but I need that. Yeah, I need that. We do tend to fret and worry and be anxious about things. Well, the Lord tells us, don't fret. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. He told these men, when you're on trial for your life, don't be anxious about what you're going to say. The Spirit of your Father will speak through you. So the Holy Spirit, he's the Spirit of the Father. We know that. He's also the Spirit of the Son. I've heard a lot of argument over the years. People, I don't believe in the Trinity. The Trinity is not in the Bible. You're right. That word is not in the Bible. But it's implied all through the Bible that there is God the Father, God the Word, God the Holy Spirit. It's in there. Read it for yourselves. I don't go around saying Trinity, Trinity, Trinity. Well, if you don't believe in the Trinity, you're just not saved. The Word's not in the Scriptures. That's just, Satan likes it when the church haggles over words. But Jesus told his disciples, it'll be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. In another place, when he's promising us the Holy Spirit, he says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. I don't know about you, but I need that. Jesus warned us in Matthew of the great deception that would be in the last days. I think that's the most dangerous thing that is here. And Jesus warned us about it. And if he warned us about it, we ought to pay attention, because that means we could be deceived. Jesus told his men, be careful that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. And they will deceive many. Now there's two implications with that statement, both equally true. Somebody will come saying, I am the Messiah. Or someone will come and say, he is the Messiah, but this is what he wants me to tell you. How do you gauge that? By the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, he'll teach you the truth. As I said, the Word of God to me became alive after I was filled with the Spirit, after I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I'm not boasting on me. My endeavor as a minister, God called me to this and I didn't want it. I've told you that. I ran from it for over 15 years. Nope, I don't want it. My endeavor is to preach the Word, straight and true. And it's not to make disciples for me. I'm trying to point you to Jesus Christ. That's my job. Now, I give advice when people want advice. I listen to people. I talk with people. But I shall always endeavor to point you to Jesus Christ. He's the answer, not me. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth. I have had the Spirit of God keep me out of false doctrine. I told a lot of you that when I first got saved, I was an avid follower of Kenneth Copeland. A friend of mine used to bring me his tapes, and you need to listen to these sermons, and boy, they sounded good, until I started reading the Word for myself. And I started saying, where are you getting this? You and I must be reading a different book. That's the Spirit. I've heard men and women make great claims. Thus saith the Lord. And I'll have the Holy Spirit go, I didn't say that. He teaches truth. I'm not bragging on me. I'm boasting on my Lord. Jesus said, don't be deceived. The Holy Spirit will enable you to spot a false prophet that quick. Peter said that there would be false prophets in the last days. They've been a plague of Israel. They were a plague in the early church. They're a plague in the church today. Well, how do I know? Through the Spirit. Jesus said he'll teach you. He said he'll take what's mine and he'll show it to you. Do you want what's his? I do. Yeah, Lord, I want what's yours. He doesn't say he'll show it to us all at once. We couldn't handle that. I firmly believe that. We could not handle that. You ever have a scripture come alive to you at a certain point in your life, maybe a time of crisis or a time of fear or disappointment or frustration, and you're reading the word and this scripture just jumps out and grabs you and you go, oh, I get it. That's the Holy Spirit. You needed to know that. You were ready for that. And God said, now it's time. So Jesus said he'll teach you all things. He'll bring all things to your remembrance. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. That's another earmark of the Holy Spirit within a church. The Holy Spirit did not come here to glorify the Holy Spirit. David Wilkerson was a Pentecostal preacher. He's gone on to be with the Lord. But he wrote an article I read a few years before he died called The Christless Pentecost, in which he rebuked many of the churches that he was affiliated with because he said, you're glorifying the gifts of the Spirit, and the Spirit didn't come to glorify himself. He came to glorify Jesus Christ. And he pointed out to them, what you're doing is not of the Holy Spirit, and you are grieving the Holy Spirit, and you will grieve him away if you don't stop it. That took a lot of sand for a Pentecostal preacher to say that to his own denomination. I've said this before, and I'll say it till I die, and you'll get sick of hearing it, and I don't care. I'm going to keep saying it. If every one of us in this church had the same mind that we're here to glorify Jesus Christ, most of the problems we have would go away. Most of the bickering would go away. Most of I didn't get my way would go away. Because if somebody else had a better idea than you that would glorify Jesus Christ, you'd get behind it and say, yeah, it's all about him. That's why we're here. God didn't call me so I could be held in prestige and people say, oh, what a preacher. I don't think that happens, but I mean, I understand that's not what he's called me to do. He's called me to do things. He's called you to do things. But what's he called both of us to do? Glorify Jesus Christ. And if you claim to have the Spirit of God and it's all about you, you better do some self-examination, sweet thing. You better step back and look, take an honest look at yourself and say, is it all about you? Am I here for you? The Holy Spirit didn't come to glorify the Holy Spirit. He came to glorify Jesus. When I see these TV ministers and it looks like a circus sideshow, I saw one guy waving his coat in the air and people falling to the ground. Hey, hey, hey. And I just thought, how gullible can you be? Can you imagine Jesus doing that? No. Some guy come to him deaf and Jesus slaps him in the face with his cloak and says, now you can hear, yeah, but I can't see, I got dirt in my eyes. That's just the way I think when I watch this. It's stupidity. The Holy Spirit didn't come to glorify the Holy Spirit. He didn't come to glorify the gifts. And that's what scares us in the Restoration Church. Oh, if you talk about being filled with the Spirit, you're talking about those gifts. No. I'm talking about knowing God, knowing his word, living a life that will glorify Jesus Christ if we allow the Spirit to work within us. We say we want this church to grow. How many of you are praying for that? Don't raise your hands. When I'm talking about praying, I'm not talking about a little 5 minute, oh God, please let us grow. That's lunchtime. How many of you agonize? How many of you beg God, show us what you want us to do here? You know how the church grows? I'm not talking about transfer growth when the Nazarenes get mad and come over here, or some Baptist gets mad and comes over here. I'm talking about people coming to know Jesus Christ and they plug in here because this is where they want to be. How does the church grow? through the church preaching and presenting the truth of Jesus Christ, who changes lives. That's only done through the Holy Spirit. It amazes me that so many of us in the church believes the new birth is accomplished through the Holy Spirit. I've never talked to any professed Christian that'll argue that point. Well, do you believe that we're born again through the Holy Spirit? Yes. In fact, you won't be convicted apart from the Holy Spirit. I believe that. You can preach and teach the Word of God, and if the Spirit of God isn't in it, all that happens is people get harder and harder and harder. Paul told the church of Corinth, he said, I didn't come to you in wisdom, I came to you in the power of the Spirit. That's my heart's desire. I want to preach in the power of the Spirit. It doesn't mean I'm going to shout and chicken walk to prove to you that I'm under the power of the Spirit. I want the Word of God to be taken straight to your heart, and only the Holy Spirit can do that. Jesus told his followers then, he said, the Holy Spirit has been with you, but he's going to be in you. Big difference. What a promise. He was going to the cross. He told him he was going to the cross. He said, I'm going away. And he said, I know you're sad to hear this, but you need me to do this. Because if I don't, the Comforter won't come. The Paraclete, the Advocate, the Helper, the Counselor, he won't come. But he said, when I do go away, I'll send him to you. He will come. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And the Father's going to love you. And we will make our home in you. We? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I won't charge you for that. I just want to put that out there. Now, am I saying that you guys don't have the Spirit and I do? No. I'd never make a judgment like that. I can't make a judgment like that. As I said at the beginning of this message, you can have the Holy Spirit and be just carnal and just as snotty and just as mean as an unbeliever if you choose to follow that nature. But Jesus Christ came to make everything new. Praise God, I'm not the man I was 40 years ago. Boy, God's brought me a long ways. But you know what? There's still a long ways to go yet. Just about the time I think, whew, I'm starting to get it. Boy, I'll trip and fall flat on my face. Then I want to look up and say, God, what's the matter? I'm willing to do the work if you're willing to work with me. That's what the Christian life's about. Are you saved knowing you're going to heaven if you die tonight? Well, I believe I'm saved. I hope I go to heaven if I die tonight. Well, don't you know you're going to go to heaven if you die tonight? I won't know until I stand before the Lord whether I'm going to go to heaven. I believe that Jesus Christ has opened the way for me to go to heaven, but I've read that book for too many years, and Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, but Lord, I did all these wonderful things in your name. I cast out demons. I was an elder in the church. I taught Sunday school. What Jesus say? I never knew you. In other words, you didn't know me. You knew about me, you talked about me, you taught about me, you tried your best to live for me, but you didn't know me. What does that take? Every person in this room, including the guy speaking to you, deserves eternity separated from God. We deserve the punishment that is due. And until you realize that, you cannot and will not be saved. I hear all this, God help me, penny-wasted preaching. Oh, God's not mad. He just loves you so much. Just come to him. Jesus Christ is God's final word. He sent his Son to this earth, and God said, at one time I winked at your ignorance, now I command you to repent. I told you the night I came to Christ, it was like God took these blinders off and I saw me the way he saw me, and all I could say was, God have mercy on me. Praise God, he didn't leave me there. He had mercy on me. He'll have mercy on anyone in this room. Now, I don't have to say you have to have the same testimony I did. You know, I was an idiot three times over. But I'm saying that until you realize that you need a Savior, you can't be saved. You can't be good enough. You can't go to church enough. You can't sing enough. You can't give enough money. Until you see yourself in the light of the gospel, which is done through the Holy Spirit, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you won't be saved. You won't see your need for it. And Christian, once you come to Jesus Christ, until you see your need to have that mind of Christ, you won't have it. He'll offer it. He offers the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Do I believe that a believer receives the Spirit? Yes. I said last week that sometimes we're so full of ourselves, there's no room for the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm talking about in being filled with the Spirit. As I release and relinquish control in my life and the throne room of my heart, the Spirit can take more possession. That's what I believe the filling of the Spirit is. When I was in the Pentecostal church and they were praying for me to receive the Spirit, you know, they said, well, you got to speak in tongues because that's what happened in the book of Acts. I said, well, then I need a piece of fire come over my head and a big wind sound to blow through the... They didn't like that. But I said, hey, you want to talk scripture? Let's talk. I'll tell you what happened to me the first time I received the filling of the Holy Spirit. I had a love I'd never known before. I had a peace I'd never known before. And it wasn't about me, it was about Him. As I said, it's like the Spirit of God put one hand on Jesus, one hand on me, and said, Rick, this is Jesus. Wow. I want that back. Man, I want that. People say, well, you can be so spiritually minded and you're no heavenly good. Here's my theological rebuttal for that. I want to be spiritually minded. Because until I am, I won't be any heavenly good. And neither will you. Do you want to know God? Amen. I want to know Him. And here He is saying to His church, you can know me. You can't know everything about me, but you can know me, and I'll be glad to show you. But it's through the indwelling of the Spirit. Why did Jesus tell us to ask? If we get all the Spirit we're supposed to get at salvation, at baptism, why did Jesus tell us to ask? He did. He said, how much more willing is the Father willing to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? I ask Him every day, just about. Fill me up, Lord. Please fill me. But you know what doesn't do any good? If I ask Him to do that and then go watch 2 hours of television. Oh, God, I want to know You. Oh, Days of Our Lives are on. How are you going to get to know Him while watching Days of Our Lives? Or The Waltons or Andy Griffith or whatever your favorite show is. I'm being serious. Have you ever caught yourself doing it? Oh, God, I want to know You. Oh, boy, me and Louie L'Amour's got the bad guys pinned down behind the rock. Be with you a minute, God. We got something to do here. What did Jesus say? Whatever you put in your hearts in abundance, what's going to come out? He left us His Word. He left us His Spirit. Paul said the very mind of Christ. Jesus said He'll explain the Word to us. Do we have the discipline to be in the Word? It's easy to get sidetracked. I know you think I'm going long, but we got started late. So I'll be done when I'm done. I'm not punching a time clock. Do you ever realize that about yourself? I have. Boy, I need to pray more. I got to go do this. You know when I pray more personally is if I set time aside and say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to shut that cell phone off. I'm going to shut the TV off. Or I'll go out in the woods if I have to. But God, I'm going to pray. I need to talk to You. When do I read the Word? When I decide I'm going to read the Word. What a blessing. I don't claim to understand the whole Bible. I'll probably never understand the whole Bible until I get on the other side. Then Paul said, I will know as I am known. I look forward to that. I just had an uncle passed away, and I love him dearly, and I'm going to miss him. But you know what? I can't mourn. He was a believer. And I know that Alzheimer's doesn't have him anymore. He's in the presence of the Lord. And if he said, Jess, do you want to go home? He'd say, no way, Jose. I'm staying right here. I know that because the Lord shares those things with me from His Word. Paul said for a believer to be absent from the body is to be where? In a hole 6 feet in the ground with dirt in your face, unconscious, unaware of anything going on around you. No, he said to be in the presence of the Lord. Paul believed it so much that he was facing execution at one time. And he said, I have a desire to depart and be with the Lord, but I know it's better for you if I stay here. So I'm going to stay a while. Church, what am I trying to get across my own stuttering, stammering way? Do not be afraid of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Don't let bad doctrine steer you away from it. Don't throw the baby out with the washwater. Don't fear the Holy Ghost. He's the Spirit of the Father. He's the Spirit of the Son. He's the Holy Spirit. God wants to reveal himself to the church. The Holy Spirit came to reveal God's will to the church, but he also came to reveal God to the church. That's a promise he's given us. I believe that salvation is just the beginning of life's journey. And it's sad that I meet people, I've talked to people, that you can tell, well, I got saved back in 1934. Haven't grown any, but I got saved back in 1934. What a waste. What a waste. How are you different now than when you got saved? How are you different now than you were a year ago? How are you different now than you were maybe 6 months ago? That's what the Spirit of God does. Now, I told you, you have to be willing to relinquish control. In Bible college, my third year, they said, what have you learned? I said, I can't believe you want me to give up something as holy as my own opinion. Yeah. And I find that with the Lord all the time. Think I got things figured out? Yeah. God will go, nope. What a God, church. He loves us so much, he sent his Son to die for us, and he's placed his Spirit within us because he wants us to know him, not to know about him. He wants to be intimate, heart to heart. And how sad it is sometimes we're so afraid of that, we don't want it. I had a guy tell me one time in a church I was in, we were talking about the Holy Spirit, and he said, I don't need that. Even if it is for us today, I don't need it. And I thought, well, don't worry, Hoss, you ain't going to get it. I would ask this church what the Apostle Paul asked the Galatians, and I'm going to close with this. We all believe that salvation is accomplished through the work of the Holy Spirit. But Paul said to the church of Galatia, having begun in the Spirit, now do you think you're going to be made perfect in the flesh? That's something to think about, church. Would you stand with me this morning? I love you. The Lord loves you. This isn't directed at any one person. But I've heard so much hogwash about the Holy Spirit in all churches I've been in. Misconceptions. Misrepresentations. What does the Word say? That's what we need to look at. What do the Scriptures say? What did Jesus say? He said, you need the Holy Spirit.